If thou also hadst known, and that in this thy day, the things that are to thy peace, but now they are hidden. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The things that are to our peace in this our day, are they hidden from our eyes? It's enough to make you weep. You see, they should be. The things that are to thy peace are hidden by their very nature, and they should stay that way. These most precious possessions filed, perhaps under privacy, filed, yes, as in filed away from prying eyes and government spies and the vulgar gaze of all the world, including your Facebook friends and Mark Zuckerberg's marketers. Just because he wears a hoodie, somebody said recently, doesn't mean you can trust him, but you probably knew that. And if you're one of those who gets online every day and lets everybody know what you know, not much, where you go and with whom and what you think about this or that and what you did with photos and videos to back you up, know this. Privacy is not just one right among many, which many today give away for free. It is an essential component of who you are and of just about anything worthwhile about you or your life. I mean respect and friendship and love and trust and indeed peace in your life. Privacy has been dying for a while now. Victim to the information age, it has slowly been strangled. Lo, almost these 50 years, dying a little bit at a time, as did back then, 50 years ago, our Mass and the old worship, which embodies the qualities of privacy. I mean rails and rood screens and vestments and veils and silence and whispers and a sacred language. Things which are too holy, too awful to be seen or said in a common way. Privacy is the quality or the state of being set apart from company or observation. It's one's right to freedom from unauthorized intrusion. Of privacy, they say, the moderns do, triumphantly, well, this is the last generation which has grown up knowing it. From now on, it will have to be explained. Just one more quaint custom from the past. Privacy has always been threatened by spying, and spying is an excellent way to eliminate a threat. Just a few days after today's gospel, during Holy Week, the Jews paid Judas 30 pieces of silver to spy on our Savior and to hand him over. The Old Testament prophet Daniel ended up in the lion's den that very way. He lived in pagan Babylon in a time of the divine chastisement, like our own. There was no prince or priest or prophet. The temple was gone. No sacrifice or oblation or incense. Daniel kept himself uncontaminated from the pagan culture about him, and he rose very high in government service because of his native intelligence and his virtue. He had his enemies, of course, and they set to get him by passing a law which would forbid for 30 days that anyone should ask anything at all of God or of man, except of the government. Back then, the government was the person of the king. It's a logical step, then as now, to make the government God. It's all-seeing. It's all-knowing. It is all-powerful. It is always right. It always knows what is best for us and how best to spend our money taken away from us in taxes. Well, Daniel, in his innocence, went home that day to pray, and he opened the windows in his room, as was his wont, to pray facing Jerusalem, where the temple used to be. Now, he was at home with what the jurists would say was a reasonable expectation of privacy. But that open window allowed them to spy on him and landed him in the lion's den, saved only by a miracle. I'm wondering, have you inadvertently opened the window on your life to all the world, friends and strangers alike? It's ironic, isn't it, that while many are outraged over government spying, they don't mind the social media doing the same thing for financial profit. Indeed, more than half of Americans, they say 56%, are, as they say, good with it now. Good with the drones the government sends over our homes, good with the thermal imaging equipment to peer inside, reading your email and listening to your phone calls. People will say, well, I have nothing to hide, or the government wouldn't hurt me. They're after terrorists, you see. But everyone has something to hide. That was said by Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who survived the Soviet communist gulag. He knows whereof he speaks. Everyone has something to hide, or should, because these are the things which may one day be twisted, taken and twisted and used to hurt us. And who wants to be accused, misunderstood, judged unjustly because of the scary alliance of social media and big government? And why, for heaven's sake, would you do it willingly? Why would you spy on yourself? A Canadian privacy expert, and of course they're far advanced, north of the border, says there is no sentient human being in the West who has little or no regard for his own personal privacy. And if you don't think so, just try peppering people with intimate questions about the details of their life, and they will soon tell you, I've had enough. Now, we know what the government is after, but why do people spy on themselves? Why do they broadcast their photos and videos and their schedules and their likes and dislikes and whatever they happen to be thinking at the moment, their personal business, so that many people, all really, could see. And then to go on to check on others, keeping tabs every day on one's friends, or maybe your children. They say that's a good way to find out nowadays. Why? Why, it is a question of control, the recreating of our country and of ourselves, bitter fruit of this revolution. Revolutions come about because not only of envy and of a thirst for power, but also because they appeal to the native instability in people. Time for rebranding. Let's have a revolution. What Americans want is not privacy, you see, but control. The government wants control, and people, too, want to control. They want to control what they want you to see them, but they want to control what you see and what you hear about them, the new persona that you put out there on the internet, as you constantly are recreating yourself. All of this indeed has produced a revolution which has destroyed the traditional nature of society. Society, our relationships with others. In the old days, it used to be vertical, hierarchical, as is our relationship with Almighty God. And you see that in our worship. There was a hierarchy which was determined by birth or by position or by power or knowledge or sanctity. Now it is horizontal, égalité, equality for everybody. People are famous not for some quality or for some achievement, but just for being famous. It's enough to make them celebrities. Media hype will do the rest. They will make them the heroes or the saints of today. Saint Trayvon is just the latest example. These celebrities take themselves quite seriously, and that is why they require Twitter feed and many, many Facebook postings all day and all night. And if you get into that, you too can be a celebrity, at least in your little world, which means that you can lose the same rights as the others. This is, too, the equality of the revolution. Before the French Revolution, you know, only the king lived in public, even his very private functions being performed in a room full of people. Welcome to the brave new world. It's not ours. We'll stick with modesty, thank you, and shut the door, with dignity, and keep quiet. We're okay with titles and respect and courtesy. We know how to cover up with clothing and that uniforms should indicate our role in society. Walls, let there be walls, impermeable walls, and curtains, keep them well closed at appropriate times. The old values of not washing dirty linen in public and of keeping a dignified silence. The Spanish say, mala tiempo buena cara, keep a good face when the times are bad. And the Italians have elaborated all of this idea of the bella figura, keep a good face, it's the same idea, on things. I'm afraid that Bergoglio, in about 100 days, pretty much destroyed 2,000 years of the bella figura, the way the Vatican used to be run, and now all of the wash is hung out on the line for everybody to see. Are we better for it? We understand that as the price of our peace, We are not meant to live our lives in public, virtual or real public. That some things are just for you and God, for you and the priest. Some things are only between husband and wife and are not to leave the house. Your own business, mind it, keep it that way. Innocent Daniel, he was just saying his prayers as we do three times a day. He had nothing to hide, but he certainly didn't post a picture of himself praying on Facebook. But maybe he should have kept the windows shut. In any case, God shut the mouths of the lions. And God alone sees all, or is meant to, and judges. Daniel means God is the judge. These are the things that are to thy peace. I hope they will not be hidden from your eyes. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.